master study. We're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. Today we'll be looking together at verses 161 to 168 of Psalm 119. In our title of our study today is entitled An Offense-Proofed Life, An Offense-Proofed Light. Life, amen. So let's read 161 to 168, the verses of Psalm 119 together now. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Again, our study is entitled An Offense-Proofed Life. We read in verse 165, Great peace have thy which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, we've often heard people say, I'm offended. You've offended me. I resent that. We hear similar words to these all the time. No victorious Christian will talk that way. The meaning of offended is to cause resentment or wounded feelings, to make stumble. The reason people get offended, it's a matter of choice. People choose to allow themselves to get offended. A person who allows himself to be offended is putting his or her happiness in the hands of another. In other words, he's allowing someone else to control his feelings. They walk around with the proverbial chip on their shoulder, waiting for someone to knock it off so they can be offended. They like to be offended, so they can have something to be miserable about. Characteristics of offended people: touchy, short-fused, hypersensitive, spiritually immature, and full of pride. You see, humility cannot be offended. You can only offend someone's pride. In fact, many of our troubles come by allowing ourselves to get offended. You see, pride is what keeps us in trouble. We're told in the Word of God, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Pride says, I have a right to be bitter. Once a person has been offended, if they harbor the grudge of the offense, it will turn into a dungeon of bitterness. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And how true this is. Amen. You know, it's amazing how much abuse a politician can take without getting offended, but how little it takes to offend the average thin-skinned Christian today. They are offended at the slightest encroachment upon their rights or personal space. A look at some of the great saints in the Scriptures reveals that they lived a life free of offense. Joseph, David, Daniel, the Apostle Paul, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, was never resentful at the way he was treated. Look, for example, in 1 Peter with me. We'll come back to Psalm 119 in just a moment. But let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your fault, you should take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. So we see he didn't get offended, and Jesus had a right to get offended, but he didn't. Amen. We ask the question as we begin our study today, what are the elements of an offense-free life? What are the elements of an offense-free life? And in our study today, as time permits, we'll look at six elements of an offense-proof life. First of all, dauntless in persecution. Second, delighted by the prize. Third, direct in poise. Four, devoted in praise. Five, deliberate in peace. And then finally, point number six, dutiful in precepts. So let's begin. What are the elements of an offense-free life? First of all, dauntless in persecution. Look at verse 161 of Psalm 119. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. This is the last reference to persecution here in Psalm 119, but the word persecution is mentioned in this psalm 80 times. David was treated badly. He had his life threatened, was falsely accused. He was deserted by his wife, and his son, Absalom, led a rebellion against him. We see that princes have persecuted me. Who were the princes? They were sons of the king, men of high position. The basic idea of the word prince is official authority. They were men of resolve. Purpose. The idea in the word persecute is pursuit, such as in the hunting of animals, always indicates hostile intent. Men of unjust cause. The psalmist was innocent. Offenses usually come when people think they've been treated unfairly or falsely accused. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 11 of Matthew, "Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." We see here the psalmist did not stand in awe of his persecutors. He's in awe by God's word. Why? Because God's word subdues a fear of persecution. Because God's word rejoices the heart. Because God's word inspires praise to God. Because God's word instills peace in every situation. Because God's word sustains hope in the inner man. And we see this throughout the verses here, verses 161 and following. He stands in awe of God's word because of God's word subdues a fear of persecution. He says again, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He's in awe by God's word because God's word rejoices the heart. verse 162, he says, I rejoice at thy word. He is awed by God's word because God's words inspires praise to God. He says in verse 164, seven times a day do I praise thee. He stands in awe of God's word because God's word instills peace in every situation. He says, great peace have they which love thy law. And then again, finally, he's in awe by God's word because God's word sustains hope in the inner man. He says in verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. So we see the first element of an offense-free life is dauntless in persecution. The second element of an offense-free life is delighted by the prize. Look at verse 162 of Psalm 119. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You see, you cannot rejoice, my friend, and be offended at the same time. He rejoices like one finding great spoil. This refers to the custom of plundering an enemy in war and bringing home his possessions. Spoils of war do not come easily or casually. Finding precious truths of God's word takes hours of labor, prayer, and study. Sometimes you must fight in some crisis of life, my friend, before a spiritual truth is discovered. Here again, in verse 162, we see he mentions great spoil. Great spoil. The blessings of God's word are greater than anything ever taken from any battle victory on earth. Did you ever notice how people act when they win some money on a TV by spinning a wheel? Amen. Let's look at the third element. The third element of an offense-free life, which is direct in poise. Direct in poise. Look at verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You see, the psalmist here, he is straightforward about where he stood. First of all, what he hates. Notice the double negative. Hate, intense dislike, and abhor, which means to bristle, shiver, detest, loathe, contempt, sickening. Well, what does he hate? What does he hate? Religious lying. You see, false doctrine, amen, false doctrine is lying. He says, I hate and abhor lying. In other words, he hates religious lying, and false doctrine is lying. Look at in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah with me. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse number 14 with me. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thought of naught and deceit of their heart. So he's talking about here in Jeremiah, the false prophets. They were lying. They were religious liars, amen. They were lying to the nation of Israel. Some are offended, amen, when you expose religious lies. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses would have you to believe that Jesus is a begotten God that is inferior to Jehovah God. Amen. And when you expose that, they get offended. When you tell them that Jesus Christ is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Or how about the Mormons? They want you to believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan. How about these false English translations, the so-called modern English translations that are of the devil? They tell you such things as Joseph is Jesus' father in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. In the New International Version and the New American Standard Bible. Or, for example, the NIV lies in saying that Elanon slew Goliath and not David in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 19. The tobacco industry lies, the liquor industry lies, news media lies. But notice what he loves, the psalmist. He loves God's word. He says, but thy law do I love. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Verse 167. My soul has kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Thy word, amen, is truth. Amen, he says. Thy word is truth. He loved God's word exceedingly. Because he knew God's word was truth. Again, we're continuing to look at the elements of an offense-free life. Number four is devoted in praise. Devoted in praise. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Now, seven is God's number of completeness. He either had set times to praise God or he praised God all the time. My friend, you cannot be offended and be praising God at the same time, can you? We need to praise God, amen. You and I need to praise God for our critics. If your critic is wrong in his criticism, then he has a problem. If my watch is broken or has a problem, I don't get upset at the watch. I try to repair the watch. Amen? A good illustration of this is David and Shimei. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, let's turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 16. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we'll see that David had a critic here. Named Shimei, and he wasn't concerned about him. 2 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse number 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, and at the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Baal. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. And it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. As David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. So here's a guy, man named Shimei that comes out and he's a critic of David, calls him a bloody man. He said, all this is coming upon your head because of what you did to the house of Saul. Amen. Now your son has taken over your kingdom. Amen. And David doesn't get offended. He said, if he's right, he's right. If he's wrong, God will deal with it. However, if your critic is right, remember this, then the problem is yours. And you should be grateful that the Lord used your critic to point out a problem in your life. Amen. All right, let's continue now with our fifth element. We're looking at what are the elements of an offense-free life. The fifth element is deliberate in peace. Great peace, verse 165. Great peace have thy which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And of course, this is a matter of focus. Peace is the result of focusing on God in His Word. Amen. That was his focus. In verse 161, it says, Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Even though he was being persecuted, he didn't get offended. He stood in awe of God's word. Notice what it says with me in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Great verse for you and I to remember. Amen. We want to have peace. Isaiah chapter 26, in verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How will God keep you and I in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So if we want perfect peace, God's promise, our mind, our heart needs to be fixed on him, stayed on him, and because we can do that because we trust in him. Amen. Knowing God is working all things together for good gives me peace, and it should give you peace. Amen. Jesus said this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." John chapter 16, verse 1. People who have a scriptural view of themselves cannot be offended by what others may say. Amen. Now let's look at our last element here of an offense-free life, and that's dutiful in precepts. Dutiful in precepts. Let's look at verses 166 through 168. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and have done thy commandments. See, dutiful in precepts. He's been dutiful. He's done God's commandments. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Again, we see dutiful in precepts. He has kept the testimonies of God. He said in verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. So the sixth and the last element here of a offense-free life is dutiful in precepts. For example, obey what it says in Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 10, and you won't be offended by preaching on tithing. Let's look in Malachi. Malachi with me, if you would. In chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Malachi, in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Obey what it says here, and when the preacher preaches on tithing, you won't be offended. Obey what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and you won't be offended by preaching on separation. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So if you obey what it says about separation, when the preacher gets preaching on separation, you won't get offended. Obey what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And you know what? You won't be offended by preaching on drugs and tobacco. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. We read, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So if you obey here what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, then you won't be offended by preaching on drugs and tobacco. As I conclude the study today, the blessings of living a life free of offense, it's all up to you. If you get offended, it's your own fault. The key to an offensive-proof life is your relationship to God's Word, which should, first of all, be admiration. Admiration of God's Word. Again, listen to what the psalmist had to say. Verses 161 and 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So a key to an offensive-proof life is admiration of God's word. Another key is adoration for God's word. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 167. My soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Another key to offensive-proof life is acclamation for God's word. Look at in verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Then another key to an offensive-proof life in your relation to God's word is your adherence to God's word. Your adherence to God's word. Listen to verses 166 to 168. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies for all of my ways before thee. So again, the key to an offensive-proof life is your relationship to God's word. And what should it be? You should have admiration of God's word, adoration for God's word, acclamation for God's word, and then finally, adherence to God's word. Again, we read in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. So maybe you need to check yourself out, my friend. If you're getting offended all the time, the key is you don't have peace. And the reason you don't have peace is you don't have a right relationship to God's word. You need to love it. And if you love God's word, the psalmist says, nothing shall offend you.